If you've ever owned or run a business, you know how vital it is to make a profit. For a business to be viable, it must, over the long term, take in more than it spends. If a business makes a profit, then it experiences what the accountants call net gains. That word, net. To be honest, it's always been a bit confusing to me when used in personal finance to describe net income and gross income. In time, I've learned the difference. Gross income is the amount that you are paid or should be paid. And the net income is the amount you get to keep after taxes and other things. We call that the take-home amount. Someone once explained it to me this way. He said, imagine that it's payday and your boss has your salary in dollar bills that he throws at you. That would be gross, wouldn't it? That's your gross income. And your boss is there throwing money at you while you stand there holding a net. And whatever you can catch with this net, you get to take home. That's your net income. For a business, it's far more complicated than that. Net gain is the measurement of income minus all expenses. And this net gain is central to calculating taxes at the end of the year. In practice, determining net gains is extraordinarily complex, but the concept is simple. At the end of the day, you want to take in more than you expend. In our reading for today, Simon Peter and some other disciples experienced their own net gains, both literally and spiritually, as they fish on the Sea of Galilee. This passage is another post-resurrection appearance by Jesus that I've been looking at for the past 3 weeks since Easter. First, there was Jesus appearing to Paul on the road to Damascus. And then Jesus appeared to two men on the road to Emmaus. And then last week, we looked at the passage just before our reading today, where Jesus appears to his disciples in that locked room in Jerusalem. There, he confers upon them the power of the Holy Spirit, and he sends them out into the world to forgive sins. But they don't comply immediately with Jesus' command. They don't do as he says. Maybe they just don't know how. Today, we read that Simon Peter and six other disciples, they're now in Galilee. We know that for some of them, this region of Galilee was their home turf when they were called to accompany Jesus. Simon and some of the others, they had been fishermen on the Sea of Galilee, which in our reading today is called the Sea of Tiberias. Peter announces to his cohorts, I am going fishing. And why not? This is something that he does know how to do. He knows how to fish. That detour that he took with Jesus that took him away from his fishing, that didn't work out, did it? Jesus has been killed by the authorities. Peter, it's true, was given the Holy Spirit, but it doesn't seem that he knows what to do with it. It didn't come with an instruction manual. So the safest course of action for Peter is just to return home and pick up his old life. Peter, with the others, he doesn't consult them anyway. He doesn't ask for their permission. He just says to them, I'm going fishing. And the others say to him, well, we'll go with you. And so they get into a boat. They go out onto the lake. They fish all night. And they catch nothing. Now, to be clear, this is not recreational fishing with a line and pole. This is work that they're doing. They are fishing with nets. These could be casting nets, but they're probably using a seine net. They would drop one end of this long net in the water and then row in a circle, letting out the rest of the net until they close the circle. They would then haul the net from both ends and pull in any fish that might get caught. It is tough, physical work, and they struggled all night, setting and pulling nets and coming up with nothing. In the morning, as the sun rises over the low hills in the east, bringing daylight, the men notice that somebody's on the beach over there. We're told that it's Jesus, but they don't recognize him. Maybe the sun wasn't bright enough yet. And that man on the beach, he calls out to them in the boat and says, children, you have no fish, have you? And they answer, no, because they don't. They still don't realize that the figure on the beach is Jesus. Perhaps, they think, perhaps he's a buyer seeking fish to purchase, to take to market that morning. But it doesn't matter because they've got nothing to offer anyway. Their nets are empty. Then the man says something odd. He instructs them to cast their net to the right side of the boat. There, he says, they will find some fish. And even odder still, the fishermen do as he says. Now, they fished all night. And no doubt they are tired and they are frustrated. And what could this man on the beach, know that they didn't know? What does he see that they can't see? So, as if on nothing but faith, they cast to the right side of the boat. And then as they retrieve their net, it is so full of fish that they can't even lift it up into the boat. One of the disciples, he connects the dots and he turns to Peter and he says, it's the Lord. And Peter figures this must be true. It's the only explanation that makes sense. So, in typical Peter fashion, he jumps overboard. And that is the Peter that we know so well, who is impetuous and loyal, devoted, less than perfect. And Peter doesn't just jump out of the boat. He throws himself into the water and he swims ashore. The others remain with the boat and row it back, slowly dragging that filled net behind them. And when they get to the beach, they discover there is a low fire burning there. And there are fish cooking on it and some bread as well. And Jesus is there too. Jesus tells them to bring some of the fish that they have caught. And the net's still out in the water, so Peter goes and drags it up on the beach. And the disciples count their catch, and they discover that there are 153 large fish in their net. Now, that many fish, that should have torn the net, but the net was intact. And Jesus invites the men over to the fire, saying, come, have some breakfast. And he gives them some bread and fish to eat, food that he has prepared for them. Right now, in the midst of the COVID pandemic, we are all of us just a bit discombobulated. Our future is unpredictable. We're not really sure what we should be doing. We have what we need. We're comfortable enough in our homes, but still we feel empty. We feel anxious. Maybe it's the isolation. Maybe it's the uncertainty. But until we get more data about this disease, we feel stuck in the moment. We've got different layers of government giving us conflicting information and guidance and not knowing exactly what to do. Well, we've all just opted to go home. The disciples in our reading, they find themselves in the same boat. They've spent 3 amazing years with Jesus, and now he's gone, taken from them, and there is no one to guide them. Yes, he came back for a while, and he shared the Holy Spirit with them, but it doesn't feel the same. And so, not knowing what else to do, Peter goes home. He returns to his home in Galilee and decides to resume fishing because that worked for him before, and it seems the logical thing to do now. So Peter gives it a go. He goes back to fishing, and he comes up empty. And maybe that's how his old life had been before meeting Jesus. Maybe it was that same emptiness that compelled him then to join up with this traveling rabbi who spoke of the way to salvation. This story that we read today, this story takes place at the Sea of Galilee. And the last time that Jesus and his disciples were there at the Sea of Galilee was that day when they fed 5,000 people from just a few bits of fish and bread. On that day, it was a boy that provided the outlay for a meal, which would feed a ravenous multitude with leftovers to spare. For the disciples now, hungry for purpose, Jesus brings them fish and bread. And like the crowd that they fed that day, they too need Jesus' guidance. They have learned this morning that when they do listen to Jesus, the results bring an abundance. The story of Jesus and the disciples on that beach in Galilee continues on with another commissioning of these disciples and a sending of Peter specifically. Jesus will ask him, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter will answer, "Lord, you know I love you." And Jesus tells him, "Feed my sheep." And that is our passage for next week. Peter's old life in Galilee is not to be. Christ is sending him out to feed a hungry world with the Word of God. For us, the calculus that drives our lives each day is a calculus based on loss and profits, of expenses and gains. Whether in business or just our ordinary lives, we always try and maximize our profits and limit our losses. We try and make the most money, have the most fun, be the most fulfilled. Yes, we do give to our neighbors when they are in need, but secretly we're counting on getting a return from that investment with interest. Because this is what makes sense in our world. These are the rules that we live by. But as Jesus has explained time and time again, in his world, in his kingdom, That sort of math doesn't add up. The rules are different. In Jesus' kingdom, the gains are infinite. The losses are non-existent. Jesus is showing his disciples not just a new way of living, but a new reality, a new kingdom, a kingdom where water becomes wine, where the dead are raised, where life is abundant. In this kingdom, there are no losses because all expenses have been paid. The expenses were paid by Christ with his sacrifice on the cross. In this kingdom, the nets are full. In this kingdom is life and meaning and God. Peter and the others, they do go out into the world. And with the power of the Holy Spirit behind them, they share the teaching of Jesus. And together, the disciples and more weave this great net that we call the church. And they become fishers of people. Those that they catch are brought to where Jesus is waiting to offer them the food of the kingdom. Friends, we are that church. And each of us are strands in that net, tied tightly together into a greater whole. We may be isolated from one another right now, but we are never alone. The Holy Spirit pulls us together. We are and we will be one in the great kingdom of Christ. Amen.